Well, it has been a good meeting, or a good morning, hopefully a good meeting, but Daryl, I was really blessed by your testimony this morning. I found myself just saying, amen, amen. God is sovereign. My arm can't go high enough. He is sovereign over everything, over sickness and Satan and sin, suffering. And he's even sovereign, Gary, over the hymns we sing. I've told Marla before that I have some favorite hymns, and one is A Mighty Fortress and A Firm Foundation, and This Who Foreordained and Purposed All. It's right there. I'm so blessed by it. 1991, brother. Well, the other day Marla asked me what I was going to preach about, and I had some thoughts. And I started praying, seeking the Lord, and it changed. It changed altogether. The title of today's sermon is The Great Mystery of Suffering. Maybe a subtitle, Why Do the Godly Suffer? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you help me to declare your glories to the saints, to the people. Lord, I am thankful for your past faithfulness, and it reminds us that you'll be faithful in the future. Lord, you are so good. You are our fortress and our foundation. We praise you. Amen. Well, Eliphaz, Job's so-called friend, he had it right when he said, man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward. But it never ceases to amaze me how quickly tragedy can come upon us. Suffering. Just in a moment's time, we can be brought low. It can just be a virus, a migraine headache. It could be something more serious like a stroke. Heard about an actor just recently, wasn't, I think, 52 years old, stroke, gone. That heart attack can hit us, and we're brought low. We get that phone call in the middle of the night, and there's been an accident, and you're just nauseous. But those things happen. We live in a world of suffering. Whether you're lost or saved, you live in a world of suffering. There's physical suffering. It can be severe and acute and agonizing. And then there's that low-level suffering, that pain. Talk to many. It's the backache, arthritis, whatnot. It just wears on you. Day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out, just wears on you. There's mental and emotional suffering. There's depression and loneliness. There's guilt. Imagine the guilt. Someone's had an abortion and it begins to settle over them what they've done and the guilt of that. I know I can, at times, I have sinfully been anxious over, what if I have cancer? Who's going to take care of Marla and the kids? And it's, duh. The faithful, sovereign God, ruler of the universe, will take care of my children. And we trust that. But many, they suffer from watching loved ones suffer. A lot of you realize, I understand, watching a loved one in pain causes pain. We can only imagine a parent, grandparent, watching a child die of cancer, how painful that is. There's husbands and wives who their love, the love of their life, the one they've loved and cherished for so long, and they watch them slowly fade away from dementia. People suffer broken relationships, lost jobs, shattered dreams and hopes, and the list, it just goes on and on. Now, there's many ways people respond to suffering and trials in life. I know as a young man, what did I do? I hardened myself. I doubt for years that I was able to even cry. I just hardened myself. I'd get in the car and I'd blare that music. Didn't want to be alone with my thoughts, so I'd turn that music, crank it up. People numb themselves with drugs and alcohol and illicit relationships and pornography. Sometimes men with anxieties and things they're going through, they abuse their spouse and their children. They'll shake their fist at heaven and just say, God, you're not there. What a lie, suppressing of the truth. Some try to escape into a world of entertainment. They binge watch movies, binge watch TV shows, just lose themselves in entertainment and worldly things. People work out to excess, go on vacations they can't afford, you name it. Now, there's some who they try to, the American dream, worldly success. I'll live for those kind of things. And when that doesn't work out, some poor souls, they choose just to check out, just to end it all, chuck it, forget about it, committing suicide. Some people do that. And they think by killing themselves, they're going to end the suffering. And what they end up doing is they end up going into that land of eternal suffering. It's so sad. But I heard about a newscaster here recently. She had laser eye surgery, and it went wrong. Karen, maybe you heard about that. And I think a lot of pain, and she couldn't take the pain. And she killed herself. But thank God, some blessed souls, they flee to Jesus. That suffering drives them to Christ. But don't believe the lie. If you're suffering, and many of you are, I know, don't believe the lie that God's abandoned you, that He's deserted you. That's a lie. The devil can tell you that lie. You can tell yourself that lie. It's not true. God is with you. And God has suffered. Oh, how He suffered. More than anyone in history. And he's not abandoned yet. Now, sometimes He'll play hide and seek, divine hide and seek. He'll pull back, and you don't feel His presence. Where is He, God? Where are you in this suffering and this pain? Where are you? And well, He's playing hide and seek. He's hiding. Are you going to follow me? Are you going to seek me out? I'm hiding over here. Will you try to find me? God'll do that. But He is with you. We believe the promises. He will not forsake us or leave us. He's with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You've got to tell yourself, remind yourself over and over these promises when you're suffering. Now, there's a lot of questions, common questions that people ask with regards to suffering. You've heard them. Why is there suffering? Why is there sin and suffering in this world? And I'll tell you, it's a somewhat simple answer. We know it. Our federal head, Adam, he committed utter, total, complete rebellion against the Holy Trinity, against His loving Creator. And he aligned himself with the devil. It was that bad. He wanted to be like God. And sin entered the world. That's the simple answer and its truth. And now we have, 8 billion fallen, sinful people in this world banging against each other, bumping against each other, and some bad things are going to happen with all these sinners, including us. Another question, where was God when, you can fill in the blank, someone was abused, a child mistreated, these horrible things that have the serial killers doing all these horrific things. Where is God? Well, I think the prophet Zephaniah, he would tell you, I think he would tell you this, God saw it all. He was there and he saw it. And he was furious, angry. His wrath was just building up when he saw those horrific things. And it's like a bow, I've heard it said. And God's right there and he's just pulling it back, pulling it back, pulling it back. And on that day, he's going to unleash it. He'll unleash his wrath on the day of wrath against those who do not repent. But understand, God is, he's restraining evil. Yes, there's horrible things that are happening all the time, but you can't imagine, our minds, we can't imagine how much God is restraining evil in this world every moment. Well, people ask, if God's all-powerful and he's good, as you say, why doesn't he just end it? And that's real simple. He will, in his timing, in his timing. Now, a pertinent question for us is, why do the godly suffer? Why do Christians suffer so much? After all, you know, aren't we God's people in God's family? Why do God's children have to suffer so much? And Psalm 34:19 tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And it seems that God, before he really uses someone, often it's like he'll send them to boot camp. He will just pull that rug right out from under them, show them they have nothing but him. Just strip everything away and you've got me, but that's all you've got. I admit I like hearing stories about people who've overcome trials and adversity. It inspires me. It fascinates me. A lot of you know about Johnny Erickson Tata. She's been a huge blessing to a lot of people. And what happened with her? She's diving into a lake or a pond or something, and she breaks her neck. She's paralyzed. She no longer has the use of her hands and her feet. And she's in constant pain. I don't know if you knew that. She feels just almost constant pain. But God took away the use of her hands and her legs, her body. But he gave her himself. And he does. He comforts her. He gave her the gift of himself. Some of you guys, evangelists, love Ray Comfort, right? He's blessed a lot of us so much. Did you know he, at one time, he suffered from panic attacks so bad, feeling that he was going to just die at any moment. He suffered panic attacks so bad, he couldn't eat with his family for over a year. But God broke him, was breaking him before really, really using him. A lot of you benefited from the preaching and the teaching and the writing of John Piper. Did you know Piper? John Piper suffered from debilitating fear of speaking in front of people. I mean, he so anxious, so fearful. He was asked, I believe, to speak or to pray at a convocation in college, and he was just terrified. And he asked, Lord, if you help me to pray to do this, I'll never turn down another speaking engagement. Well, aren't you glad? The Lord helped him. And what a powerful preacher he's been. I was thinking about people who've suffered and been used of God, and, you know, just modern day. MacArthur, I'm thinking, you know, MacArthur, he lived kind of a charmed life. I'm not sure he really suffered. And then, boom, I remember. Oh, he's in a car. Read his biography. He's in a car. And I think in Alabama, he's with five friends. And somehow, they're going down the highway. and he somehow falls out of the car as they're going down the highway. And he falls on his bottom, on his tush, and he is sliding down the highway. Asphalt, just taking skin off his body. And then he puts his hands down. Can you imagine going down the highway like that? Well, he ended up in the hospital for 3 months with skin grafts and suffering. Well, God used that. Now, no one has helped me to love Jesus more. No one on this earth than you, Pastor Daniel. No one. And I know Pastor's been through they call it a school of afflictions or the seminary of afflictions, going through those things so we can benefit. Suffering so we can be blessed. So why do the godly suffer? As preparation for ministry, to be useful, to be a benefit to others, to be a vessel that God can use and will use. Godly Christians suffer in order to advance the gospel and advance the kingdom. We live in a fallen world. It's fallen. And you have light and you have darkness, and they're clashing. And I was singing with my family a couple mornings ago, "Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. But oh, how Satan hates you and me. He hates so, godly people will suffer persecution. That's what Jesus said. We're going to suffer persecution. There's evil forces out there. Now, there's mild and there's severe persecution. Praxen, guys, we go out, we suffer mild persecution sometimes. Very, very mild, what I would consider. There are choice saints out there who suffer severe persecution. Have you ever read the book Tortured for Christ? Richard Wurmbrand, Lutheran pastor, Romania, I think 1950s, started to watch. There's his movies out. There's a movie, Tortured for Christ. I started to watch it, didn't have time to finish it. But some of the things that he's been through, I've read the book, and if you choose, you know, read it, be ready. Some of those things are too graphic to even, you know, really talk about. But suffering for Christ. The book of Hebrews, that faith chapter, chapter 11. Some were tortured. They refused to be released. They were flogged. They were stoned. Think about this. They were sawn in two. And how many Christians over church history have been burned at the stake? And that's still, I've seen where Christians are lit on fire today. Well, you talk about suffering, being persecuted to advance the gospel. What an example of the Apostle Paul. Do you guys know his middle name? Paul's middle name starts with a T. It's trouble. Paul's middle name is trouble. He just kept finding himself in trouble. But it was good trouble. And God allowed it. But Paul was a former persecutor of the church. Can you imagine living with that? Goes on to pen by the Holy Spirit 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Now get this. Paul was imprisoned and scourged on several occasions. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. Sleepless nights, exhausted, cold, naked, hungry, lonely, bitten by a snake. Threats from false brethren. Threats from storms. Threats from thieves. In constant danger. And finally, he's poured out like a drink offering. And I think Paul embraced it. I think he welcomed it, looked forward to it, wanted to be with Christ and receive that crown. Now, did Paul have a secret to be able to suffer so much and to suffer so long? What was Paul's secret? I maybe get just a little glimpse of it. What was Paul's secret to be able to suffer as he did and endure? And I think in some respects it's real easy. It's a simple secret. I think he really, really, really loved people. And I think he really, 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 just keep saying that, really loved Jesus. I think those things helped him to endure. Now get this. There's a mysterious verse in Romans 9. In Romans 9 where he talks about, he says, I could wish myself accursed, which anathema for the brethren. Now, he knew his going to hell would not save them. And he said, if I could. I don't think he came close, but he didn't quite go over that line. But he entertained that thought. He loved so much. He loved the brethren so much that that thought at least entered his mind. If I go to hell so they could be saved, that is amazing, amazing love. But some of you know the pain of a loved one. They're lost and died lost. That's hard. That's real hard to deal with. But we know the promise. God's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to wipe away every tear. Could go on and on with some other things. But Paul, he knew he was owned. He knew he was bought with a price. He was a slave. He's a slave of Jesus, the good master. And he was willing to die to himself. Now we move from the lesser Paul to the infinitely greater, the Lord Jesus. And obviously the suffering servant cannot begin. I cannot begin to do justice to the sufferings of Christ. But think about this. From eternity past, Jesus always existed with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and he's anticipating something. He's anticipating coming to the earth and becoming flesh, carne, flesh, meat, and bone, and blood. And he comes to the earth, the three-year ministry, right? But it's all, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to the cross. That as they say, the great and awful day. But Jesus was anticipating that. And some of you, I know, and I have, the results, the test results. Is it going to be benign or malignant? Am I in remission or not? And you're anticipating. You know what it's like to 3 days I'll find out. Well, Jesus, he knew. He knew what it was like. He's going to the cross. He knows he's going to suffer the wrath of God. Now, the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, he tells us how Jesus is going to suffer. Then he tells us in Isaiah 53, why he's going to suffer. Isaiah 50, read it. It describes how Jesus, he offers his face, his cheeks. It's an offering. He's offering. Sorry. Every once in a while, when I preach this out in the streets, it almost brings a tear to my eye, and it then hit. But he offered his face. To be spat upon. His back was ripped open. They say you could probably see his internal organs. He was disfigured, unrecognizable. But as bad is all that was. It's nothing compared to the wrath of the Father. The spiritual suffering. As I said, nobody suffered like he did. And my human mind, I can't fathom. I can't, because I'm so finite, I can't imagine how much he suffered. None of us can. It's beyond us. It's so much more than the physical suffering. But why? Why? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that should have fallen on us fell on him, the righteous, dying for the unrighteous. And he purchased us. And we should thank him. Just right now, thank him that he would suffer so much and die for us, purchase us. Well, all suffering, it's by design. God's sovereign. He's sovereign over it. And it's useful. It's for a reason. And there's a whole lot more going on with it than we see. Sometimes, like a good father, God is disciplining us. And he knows exactly how to do it. And a loving warning. If you're looking at pornography, and this is not what the message is about, it's kind of off the cuff. If you're looking at pornography and lying to your spouse and whatnot, you are inviting the rod of God. But he will discipline, and he humbles us. He'll humble us through suffering. And it's so much wiser to humble yourself so you don't have to be humbled by God. He reminds us how weak we are, how dependent we are upon him. Total, utter dependence. Just breathing, heartbeat. You've heard it said, the most, what we consider simple things, that we're totally dependent. Now, God is providential with our suffering. He'll change our direction. As a young man, right after college, I find myself in Miami, Florida. I'm playing baseball. And spring training, I'm going to be a baseball player. And God strikes my body. He says, no, you're not. You're not going to play baseball. And then at some point, I'll be a police officer. Alex, going through this process, going through all this, and all I got to do is run a mile. Could do that in my sleep without being touched. And God touched me again. I could not even run the mile because of an affliction. And God said, that's not what I have for you. In his providence. But it wasn't bad luck. Maybe I thought, bad luck. But it wasn't a fluke. It was by design. Well, sometimes God causes us to suffer to make us more sensitive and compassionate and more caring and more loving. Think of the doctor. And maybe he's a good doctor, but he's just not very compassionate. Good doctor. Well, he can tell somebody, you've got 6 months. 6 months, got to get your affairs in order, and he's sorry. But I tell you, he gets a diagnosis or the cancer scare in 6 months, he's going to treat his patient a whole lot different. You have a young pastor who is doing funerals, and he cares, but then he loses a family member, a child, spouse. I'll tell you, he's going to preach a funeral a whole lot different after that. Okay, I'm going to quickly go through some benefits of suffering. And Daryl, I love what you said. God's grace is sufficient. Remember, a lot of times people speak like this, say things, and something just really, just so appreciated the things you were saying, but God's grace is sufficient. There's so many benefits. Suffering makes us more thankful. Aren't you thankful? Doctors, dentists, such pain, and nurses that take care of us, even these small-town rescue squads. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for medicine? Aren't you thankful when the pain just eases up a little sometimes? Well, suffering is a gauge. It's a thermometer. It shows us how well we're doing. It reveals, are you weak or are you strong? You're going through this. You're not handling it well. You need to be strengthened. And I think of Bob Jennings. Some of you know Bob Jennings. He's a pastor. And he knows he's dying. And I saw a video quite a while ago, but he said, don't think you can wait till you start going through something, then you'll get built up. And he was a strong believer. But he spoke about how your mind, your mind's racing, and you feel so sick. He said, I thought I would just be reading the Bible all the time, and it's not like that. You've got to be ready. Don't wait till when that suffering hits you to think, then I'll get strong. You've got to be built up by God's grace before that. Well, sickness, disease, afflictions, they remind us that we're dying, that this isn't our home. We're going to heaven. It's a good reminder. Suffering makes us desirous of heaven. Think of all Paul went through. To die is gain. To die is gain, and we can say that, and suffering helps us to say that. I've heard people talk about the strings to this world, just getting cut, man, you're just ready, so ready to go to heaven. Now, I like this one. Suffering for Christ. Willingness to suffer for Christ. It's a good evidence that you're in Christ. Now, there are people that go out and get themselves martyred and killed, and they're not even Christians. But it's a good evidence. Now, we're not to go running after suffering, and some suffering will come. We don't run away from it. We don't try to purposely get it inflicted. And remember how Luther would do all these things, trying to make himself right with God? We don't do that. But we don't run from suffering. Suffering is a divine opportunity to bring glory to God. I know some of you, several of you, you suffer with insomnia. And I can relate to that a little bit. John Piper famously said, don't waste your cancer. Well, don't waste your insomnia. When you just can't sleep, well, you can pray. And you can worship. And you can have that special time in the night, in the dark, with Christ, the lover of your soul. Well, suffering brings reward. Aren't you glad about that? And I wish I understood that a little bit more, but there is reward for those who endure, persevere, receive the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. But what's the greatest treasure? It's the gift. You get Christ. You get Jesus. You're going to be with Him. Well, why do we suffer? Why do we go through all these things? Get this. I want you to understand this, and I know you know this, but God is shaping us. He's molding us. He's sculpting us. He's cutting things away. And when that kind of thing's going on, and putting pressure here, molding you, it's painful and it hurts. But why is God doing that? What's He doing with this molding and sculpting? He's making us into the image of Christ, in the image of His Son. He's making us more like Jesus. And it hurts. But all testing and trials, all these things, they're producing something. They're producing something. Let's go to James for a moment. James 1. Just for a moment. James is the half-brother of Jesus, right? and a leader there in the church in Jerusalem, and these people, there, a lot of them are suffering, going through trials. And maybe some of you have memorized this verse, and that's good. Just, you may have to say it to yourself over and over. Count it all joy, over and over. Well, Daryl talked about how he's a straight shooter, and it kind of hit me. As he, right when he said that, James is a straight shooter. If you read James, I mean, I'm just looking. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Do not be deceived, verse 16. I mean, be doers of the word, not hearers only. He's real direct. James is a straight shooter. Well, let's read this. My brethren, count it all joy. Verse 2, when you fall into various trials. And I want to make this point. Sometimes we can think we're only being blessed and rewarded and thanks for, you know, going out and being persecuted in evangelism or something. But no. God's working in you. It may be a toothache. It may be the boss. It may be the flat tire. Whatnot. The colicky baby, ladies. Talk about insomnia. You might be having some insomnia here soon with the babies. But you're going through this for a reason. It's producing something in you. It's making you stronger to where you can endure and be patient. But God is, he's given you those trials to make you more like Jesus. So it's not just what we consider these outwardly Christian things. It is the day-to-day stresses and hard things that happen that God's using, to mold us. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, all these different trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. It's doing something, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing, becoming more like Christ. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Go to God. You're suffering. I know I have a tendency. We all do. You want to just tell the world, I'm suffering. I'm suffering. You want to tell everybody. And in Facebook, social media, you can kind of do that. But it's better to go to God. Tell him you're suffering. I think you give great glory to God when you follow the example of the Lord Jesus. He's going to the cross. And he knows his suffering is coming upon him, and he's praying. But nevertheless, thy will be done. You're suffering. You're going through some very, very difficult thing. But if you say, Lord, you can pray. Yeah, pray. Take it away. Take it away, Lord. And that's fine. But then nevertheless, your will be done. That brings much, much glory to the Lord Jesus. So go to God. Now, you don't have to suffer in silence. We're here to bear the burdens of others. That's one of the reasons people go through difficult things, so they can comfort other people, so they can bless others. I've been through that or similar, and you have the compassion and the caring. But don't suffer in silence. You know, go to God first. There's that maybe the close friend that you can go and talk to and let out your pain. But we don't have to do that just to the world. Okay, a final thought, and we'll be done. Suffering is a matter of perspective. It's relative. Relative means in relation or in proportion to something else. It's relative. Suffering is perspective. It's relative to something, in proportion to something else. I remember very vividly and clearly when God truly working in me and saving me and revealing things to me. I remember the thought. I remember this desperation. I will crawl on my hands and my knees on shards of glass. I don't know why. On shards of glass all the way to Texas and back. I'm thinking these thoughts for 1,000 years. I'd do anything. I'll crawl on my hands and knees on glass for 1,000 years. Well, it's proportion. It hit me what it must be like. An eternity in hell. An eternity in hell. 1,000 years compared to an eternity in hell? Oh, yeah. 1,000, that's nothing. Well, the Holy Spirit, I can't earn my way to heaven. All I can do is cast myself upon Christ who suffered for me. I don't have to, force, but it proportion. Well, something to rejoice about, talking about hell, and I'll be honest. I don't know that a day goes by. I'm not sure, but I don't know. A day goes by. I don't think, in some respect, the horror of hell. How horrific. But none of us here, if you're born again, if you're in Christ, none of us, you're not going to experience 1 second of hell. That is really something to rejoice about. You're going through some hard things. It's hard. But you're not going to experience the wrath of God because of Jesus. Well, let's thank Him in your heart today. Let's thank the Lord. He's so good. Let's pray. Lord, You wound and You heal. Lord, help us to see that our afflictions, they're from Your sovereign hand, and they're for our good. Father, we thank You for pouring out Your wrath on the Son. Lord Jesus, we thank You for being bruised for our iniquities. And we love You, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Our hymn of communion is hymn number 245.